As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Wow, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 20th. How are we doing this morning? Happy Easter to you. Happy Passover. Hope you're enjoying the weekend and the start of golf season. And I'm just back from 10 days at the Masters. 10 days. 10 glorious days culminating in a most dramatic saga of that final round. Oh my God. A roller coaster of highs and lows. Extraordinary shots mixed with unbelievably bad nerve-induced mishaps. All bundled into an epic result. A 35-year-old Rory McIlroy from Northern Ireland winning his first Masters title and capturing a career Grand Slam. And what we thought was going to be a prize fight between two heavyweights in golf, Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau, turned out to be a battle, really, between Rory McIlroy and himself for most of the final round. With the finish, a war between Rory McIlroy and 44-year-old Justin Rose. Yes, this saga had several plot twists, dragging the most loyal spectators and fans through that heart-wrenching, seesaw-riveting finale. And somehow, despite Rory's nerves from everything that was on the line and many bitter memories in his mind from previous collapses at the Masters, somehow all was avenged, right? You know, those previous meltdowns and heartbreakers, hey, they don't matter anymore. Like the 2011 Masters when Rory led by 3 shots, making the turn in the final round, pulled his drive left off the 10th tee into the cabins, making a triple bogey there. I'm sure you remember that. He bogeyed the 11th, 4-putt the 12th for another double, eventually signing for an 80 in that 2011 Masters. Then there was 2015. He finished 4th. That was the year Spieth ran away with it. 2016, Rory grabbed a spot in the final pairing in the 3rd round, but struggled with a plus 577 that year, eventually finishing 6 shots behind Danny Willett, of all players. 2018, Rory got into the final pairing with Patrick Reed on Sunday, but after Rory shot a 65 in the 3rd round, he couldn't keep up that great play. 2022, Rory finished runner-up to Scottie Scheffler. Scottie just too awesome, even with Rory shooting an 8-under 64, just another heartbreak. 2023, Rory misses the cut. He then withdrew from the RBC Heritage the following week. And last year, he made the cut, but shot 71 and 73 on the weekend to finish tied for 22. And so this Masters was Rory's 11th attempt to complete the career Grand Slam. His last three major titles came in 2014 when he was 25 years old. So yes, year after year, it was heartbreak city for Rory McIlroy until this Masters. So that just gives you a bit of a glimpse of what he had been through. Well, the great Gary Player, one of now six male golfers to capture a career Grand Slam, he is going to join us this hour. And, you know, I can't think of a better person, an absolute legend, to discuss Rory's historic win. Hole by hole, that emotional roller coaster, the importance of the mental game, the resilience, the impact that Rory's win will have on golf. And, you know, Gary's just an international treasure. He's a nine-time major winner on both the PGA Tour and the PGA Champions Tour. He's compiled 159 professional wins traveling the globe. He was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1974. He's really won every possible honor that one can win. And he's still going strong. He actually turns 90 in November. He's a fitness and nutrition advocate. He still plays golf almost every day. He travels the world making all kinds of appearances. And he is doing so much work off the course as well with the Gary and Vivian Player Foundation, which supports underprivileged youth. In fact, they're holding a charity gala and a golf day in Florida at the end of the month. And I'm so honored to be invited. I will be there with bows on. So we're going to talk with the legendary Gary Player in a little bit. But let's first take a listen to Masters champion Rory McIlroy talking about his historic win.
I'd like to start this press conference with a question myself. What are we all going to talk about next year? it's a dream come true. I've dreamt about that moment for as long as I can remember. I mentioned it out in the prize ceremony, but watching Tiger here in 1997 do what he did and winning his first green jacket, I think that inspired so many of my generation to want to emulate what he did. And, you know, there were points in my career where I didn't know if I would have this nice garment over my shoulders, but I didn't make it easy today. I certainly didn't make it easy. I was nervous. It was one of the toughest days I've ever had on the golf course. In a funny way, I feel like the double bogey at the first sort of settled my nerves. And it's funny, walking to the second tee, the first thing that popped into my head was John Rahm a couple of years ago making double and going on to win. So, you know, at least my mind was in the right place and was at least thinking positively about it. But just a complete roller coaster of a day. You know, it was very tricky out there. It almost felt more like a US Open than a Masters at some points, just with how firm and fast the greens got. But just really proud of how I bounced back from from the double on one, from the double on 13. I don't know if any Masters champions had four doubles during the week, but maybe I'm the first, just a complete roller coaster of emotions today, and honestly, you know, what came out of me on the last green there in the playoff was, at least 11 years, if not 14 years, of pent up emotion, since 2011. I think it's so ironic as well. I got to my locker this morning and I opened it up and there was a note in there from Ángel Cabrera. And just wishing me luck. And Ángel Cabrera was the player I played with in the final day in 2011. It was a nice touch and a little bit ironic at the same time. And it's been 14 long years, but thankfully I got the job done.
And here's my question to Rory after his win. Congratulations, Rory. No extraordinary achievement comes easy, right? So can you describe how hard you've worked for this and how you've managed to keep the faith?
Yeah, look, you have to be the eternal optimist in this game. You know, you have to, and I, you know, I've been saying it until I'm blue in the face. I truly believe I'm a better player now than I was 10 years ago. And, you know, I just, you know, it's so hard to stay patient. It's so hard to keep coming back every year and trying your best and not being able to get it done. And, you know, there was points on the back nine today. I thought, you know, have I let this slip again? But I, you know, again, I responded with some clutch shots when I needed to, and, you know, really proud of myself for that. But yeah, it's been a emotionally draining week for a lot of reasons, a lot of just roller coaster rounds and late finishes. And so just, you know, absolutely thrilled to be sitting here at the end of the week as the last man standing.
Certainly the last man standing. Well, before the championship even started, the honorary starters, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson, were asked who they thought would win, and all three stated Rory McIlroy. And here's Rory reacting to that.
It's tough. It's, you know, you've had, you know, Jack, Gary, Tom, Tiger, you name it, come through here and I'll say that I'll win the Masters one day. That's a hard load to carry, you know, especially, you know, it really is. And, you know, these are idols of mine, and it's very flattering that they all come up here and they believe in me and they believe in my abilities to be able to, you know, win this tournament and, you know, achieve the Grand Slam and all that. But it, you know, it doesn't help, you know, I wish they didn't say it, but, you know, I think as well as the years have went on, I've just become more accustomed to the noise that sort of surrounds my whole Masters week, and you know, I've become a little more, you know, comfortable with it.
And here's an emotional cut from Rory. Eamon Lynch of Golf Week and the Golf Channel asked him this question.
Rory, you and Harry grew up together in a tiny town playing childhood games together. What does it feel like to have him standing beside you today when you achieved that childhood dream?
Amen. yeah, I've known Harry since I was 7 years old. I met him on the putting green at Hollywood Golf Club. We've had so many good times together. You know, he's been like a big brother to me the whole way through my life. And to be able to share this with him after all the close calls that we've had, all the crap that he's had to take from people that don't know anything about the game. This one is, you know, just as much as it is mine. He's a massive part of what I do, and I couldn't think of anyone better to share it with than him.
All righty. Well, the TV ratings on CBS for Sunday's final round, it was the most watched final round of the Masters since 2018, states CBS. And they reported that the final round averaged more than 12.7 million viewers, which is a 33% increase over last year's final round. Now, from 7 p.m. to 7:15 Eastern on Sunday, when the final round was concluding, the viewership peaked. 19.543 million fans tuned in that 15-minute window. And in addition, Paramount, which also showed the coverage, had the largest audience for a non-NFL game ever. It was also the most streamed golf event on the platform. So, hey, if you weren't riveted by this final round, I don't think anything can get you going, right? And next up for Rory, he will play the Zurich Classic, which is this coming week in New Orleans. It's a team event, and he and Shane Lowry won it last year. And, you know, I think it's going to be fun to see how focused he may or may not be. I mean, winning this Masters has totally freed him up. But let's see how I think he's going to go on and win a lot more majors. And then, of course, you have the PGA Championship, only a few weeks away. It's the week of May 12th already. And it's at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina, where Rory has won four times. He's won it in 2010, 2015, 2021, and 2024, the Wells Fargo Championship. So I really think we're going to see so much more from this talented player. Let's check out some results from some of the other tours happening this weekend. RBC Heritage on Hilton Head Island, SW Kim. He's at 15 under. He takes a one-shot lead over Andrew Novak. And Justin Thomas going into today's final round. That's a signature event, which means it's a $20 million purse. The winner this afternoon will take home $3.6 million. And, you know, JT had the lead going to the third round. On that par 5 second, he pulled his tee shot into a waste area on the left side of the fairway. He tried to move some debris around the ball, but while doing that, the ball moved a tiny bit, and so JT asked for an official and literally called the infraction on himself. The official agreed with JT that it was probably because of JT's efforts to move the debris that caused the ball to move ever so slightly, so JT was given a one-stroke penalty, and there you have it. Only in golf do players call penalties on themselves, right? That's just amazing. It's a sport of honor, no doubt. And in the opening round on Thursday, Justin Thomas, he shot that 10 under 61, which tied the course record at Harbortown. And he has not won a tournament since May 2022. And so earlier in the week, he told the media that, in quotes, the majority of it has just been pressing and trying too hard. He said, I mean, all of us, I would assume, want to win so bad, and I want to win so bad. He said, I'm getting sick of being asked about it. He said, I almost feel like I'm past the point where, fortunately, you all have stopped asking me, which is nice, but I would also prefer to get that over with. So we'll see if JT can come from a little behind to close it out today. Joel Dahman has a three-shot lead at 17 under at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship in the Dominican Republic. He won this before. And to compare prize money, that tournament has a total purse of $4 million, and the winner this afternoon will take home $720,000. Such a difference when it's not a signature event, for sure. All right, coming up, Gary Player will join us. I'm so delighted we can connect with the legendary Gary Player. We'll get his take on Rory's historic win right after this.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning and welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And I am joined by the legendary Gary Player, who is one of six members of the most prestigious club in golf. He's the winner of a career Grand Slam, and Gary won the U.S. Open in 1965 at Belle Reve Country Club in Missouri to capture the career Grand Slam. You were 29 years old at the time, Gary Player. First of all, thanks so much for coming on Talking Golf.
Well, it's a pleasure, Anne, and always nice to talk to you. You're so knowledgeable about golf, makes it very easy. And yes, I was 29, and I went to Belle Reve, and I must give Jack Nicklaus a lot of credit. I was going to go to Greensboro, and being the sport that he is, and I've always told you, I've put emphasis on the fact that he was the greatest gentleman I ever played with. And he said, if you want to win the Grand Slam, you better come with me and practice at Belle Reve. I said, no, Jack, I need the money. I got to go to Greensboro. He convinced me to go there, and what happens, I win.
I love it. I love that story. Wow, Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, you, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and now Rory McIlroy. Have you welcomed Rory into that exclusive club?
We'll certainly be either speaking to him or writing him a letter. I've already contacted Justin Rose because he was victorious in his loss. I mean, he was a great example to all the youth who are the trustees of posterity in America to make them realize you've got to be a gentleman when you lose. And he was absolutely magnificent. And he is a thorough gentleman. And I know what it feels like because I finished second in the Masters three times. So only your wife and your dog remember that. And, you know, he played the best golf on the final day by a mile, but he never won. And that's the kind of game golf is. You don't always win when you play your best. Many times I played my best and finished second, and other times I played average but held a lot of putts and won. So this was a historical Masters because, first of all, Rory has blown a few majors, as we know, and it can happen very easily, and it's very easy to do that. And now to get the monkey off his back. And, you know, gratitude is one of the most prevalent words in my life. I'm so grateful for everything in my golfing career, to win the most tournaments in the world and to win the Grand Slam, and you know, it's just been an epic journey. Now, Rory, you know, you could see how grateful he was. He hit the ground. He was crying, which I just love to see because it just showed you the value he puts on winning the Masters and winning the Grand Slam and realizing he's got the monkey off his back.
Absolutely. The monkey off his back. I'm going to get into that in a second. But first of all, you mentioned Justin Rose, class act, and what a talent. He's just so extremely skilled and classy at the age of 44. But the fact that there are only six players, and there were only five players for 25 years since Tiger achieved it when he won the 2000 Open Championship at St. Andrews. And before that, I believe it was 1966. But because of that, it just shows how tough capturing a career Grand Slam really is, doesn't it?
Well, it really does, because golf has always been, throughout ages, from the time it started, it's been so competitive and so many good players. And to actually go out and win, it's not like tennis. You play the final of Wimbledon and you're playing against a man and you're playing against the same conditions. You've got to beat one man. In the final of a major, you've got to beat, well, you've got to beat 70 guys, because they started off with 156 guys. So it's very difficult. And, you know, one bad. But, I mean, honestly, was that an exciting Masters or what?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, no player ever overcame four double bogeys to win a Masters title. I mean, it just shows it was such a roller coaster. We all were having heart failure watching Rory McIlroy, and it just shows his extraordinary talent and resilience. And I really would love to go through the hole by hole of this round and get your perspective, if you would. When you saw Rory double the very first hole, what were you thinking? I mean, his tee shot landed in the bunker, his third shot landed on the green, his par putt went past the hole, he missed his bogey putt right, he gets a double on the very first hole. What were you thinking, Gary Player?
Well, I'm thinking, first of all, it's the only time I've ever sat and watched the entire Masters with my family. I said, oh, my goodness, don't tell me to blow this one again. If he doesn't win today, I don't know if he'll ever win the Masters. But, you know, I predicted he would win prior to the tournament, as you know.
That's
but
right.
But anyway, it's double bogey. But you say, well, okay, the second hole is like a, you know, it's not golf anymore. It's got to get a new name, because there are no more par fives. They're driving a lot of the par fours. And the ball is going so far, the clubs, it's all becoming a joke. And you haven't had a big man play golf yet. So you can imagine in the future they're going to drive the first hole in Augusta without a doubt. But anyway, I'm thinking we'll birdie the second hole. And he didn't.
No, he parred the second, and with Bryson DeChambeau's birdie there, Bryson takes over the lead by one, but then Rory birdies three to regain the lead by one. Beautiful chip to the green, by the way, makes the putt. Rory birdies four. Suddenly his lead is three, as Bryson is struggling at that point. Then Rory pars five, six, seven, and eight, and he was able to save par on five after hitting it into the pine straw, and his tee shot stayed up on the sixth, and he made a good par there. But on the seventh, he hit an incredible approach shot, Gary Player. That shot was amazing, but his birdie putt came up short. On eight, his tee shot went into the bunker. He made par there. Still had a three-shot lead at that point. Then he birdies 9 and 10, had a five-shot lead after that birdie on 10 over Justin Rose at that point.
Five-shot lead. With nine
That's right.
to go.
That's right. Just incredible. But then on 11, he was so lucky that his approach shot stayed up and did not roll into the water. What were your thoughts at that point?
Well, I've never seen, and I've played Augusta, this is my 67th visit, and I've played it 52 times. I have never seen, but you've got to understand, everybody who wins Augusta has to have some luck. And now, if we could go back just for a minute. Well, number three was a very, very big determining point. Now, DeChambeau can drive it on the green, and he takes an iron off the tee. Rory takes the driver. The best means of defense, attack. So DeChambeau made a big error right there, and he makes bogey. He takes an iron and makes bogey. He three-putted from 15 feet. So
that was
a bad mistake. And
That's
then
right.
at number eight, Rory drives in the bunker. Now, you cannot drive in that bunker. If you drive in the trees on the left, you can still make a birdie because you can get a shot and you can still whip it up close to the green. So what does DeChambeau do? He drives in the bunker as well. Okay, now he's got a five-shot lead after 10 holes, so with 8 holes to go. My whole family and friends are sitting there. I said, Rory's going to win this by 5 shots. Well, he has an amazing break at number 11. Only I know, because I've played it so many times. I've never seen a ball stop running down that hill, but it does. Because if you're destined to win, these things happen, and it's happened to all of us to get a bit of luck. Okay, so now go on.
He parred 12. He has a four-shot lead at that point. Then on 13,
he had about a 50-yard chip, and the green is the size of a football field, and you've got to keep it left. Now, I've got to say, the worst shot I've ever seen at Augusta, ever, was that chip shot he had. I mean, it was just, I said, oh my goodness, now he's got a double bogey. And then he bogeys 14. I said, he's gone. Now we come to 15, and out comes that miracle shot like he did on number 7. And a miracle shot. And the commentators, I didn't feel describe it well enough to say to the people, he's got to hit a massive high hook here, which he did.
Right.
But he's so talented. And now it carries the water by 6 feet, ends up 7 feet from the hole. A miracle shot at that time.
That's so right.
He is the most talented golfer in the world today. He has got the best golf swing. And what I'm happy about, Anne, I started weight training and golf and they crucified me in 1953. Now, along comes Tiger, pumps his body up like Mr. Universe with weight training and wins. And now Rory is doing a deadlift. He's showing me on his camera. 400 pounds deadlift.
Wow.
So yeah, these guys, I'm so happy they've come along after doing the weights because everybody crucified me and said, I'll never last a long time. And here I'm 90 still shooting par and they can't break 100.
You're amazing. But yeah, I mean, he used a 7-iron from 205 yards on that 50. I can't believe that shot. And Jim Nance described it as the shot of a lifetime, which certainly it was. I mean, when you saw that shot, what did you think? And 7-iron.
I said to myself, you know, the way things are going, he's going to go in the water. And he hit the most miraculous 7-iron. But you see, this is what's perturbing me. It's no more golf. They've got to get a new name. There are no more par fives because of the equipment. The ball's going 60 yards further. Fairways are cut shorter. The guys are exercising. Why can't the RNA and the USGA see this and cut the ball back 60 yards for pro golfers and leave the game as it is for amateurs? A 7-iron on a par five.
It was surreal, I have to tell you. He regains the lead by one at that point. He missed the eagle putt, by the way, but he made the birdie. At 16, he missed another birdie putt. Justin Rose tied the lead at 11 under at that point with his birdie on 18. And then on 17, Rory hits just an incredible approach shot, makes the short birdie putt there, takes a one-shot lead at 12 under. He bogeys 18, has to finish it up in a playoff, as we all know, against Justin Rose. And boy, those iron shots, those approach shots, Gary, they were just incredible.
But he went from the sublime to the ridiculous. I mean, number 17, what the people don't realize, that green is always harder than surface-wise than any other green on the golf course. He takes out the club. I don't know what it was. He hit it so high, I thought it would come down with ice on it. He hit it so high, and he puts it a gimme, gets birdie. Now he's back in the thing with the lead. And 18, he hits a fabulous drive. He had a wedge. It was such a bad wedge shot. It was hard to believe that the best player in the world could do this. I mean, he puts it in the bunker with a wedge. You can put it 30 foot by the hole. It comes back. You can put it to the right. It kicks to the left. As you saw when he went in the playoff, his shot pitched 18 feet by the hole and rolled back to a gimme. Now, Justin Rose, he hit it by the hole. It didn't come back. So you have to be fortunate. But, I mean, really, I was so happy to see Rory win. I mean, you know, he's such a nice young man, and he is the best player in the world, and he has the best golf swing, and he does weight training, which I'm so grateful for. And I mean, it's just to see him so grateful. And here's the other thing. In the Bible, it says, honor your mother and your father. And he did that in the prize giving. And, you know, at least 30% of the youth of the world, they don't even acknowledge their parents anymore. It's a known fact, and it's a tragedy because your parents do so much for you. And now here's the other thing, Anne. Nelson Mandela, our great father, who was an incredible human being. He said, sport can change the world, can give people with no hope hope. You don't have to be rich. You can be poor and still make it. You can see the opportunities for people that play sport, how it can change their lives. Now, here's the other thing, that it's going to get so many more people playing golf, and it's going to give people encouragement, because Rory was really having a dreadful time in winning another major and blowing it, and from adversity, he comes back and he wins one of the four most important tournaments in the world. So young people can see that adversity is actually a gift that's bestowed upon you. And then we take tourism for Ireland. Can you imagine what it's going to do? So it's an all-round victory, which is more than just winning a tournament.
That's right. So much impact on so many factors. It was a saga, a roller coaster of shots and emotion, and finally triumph. Certainly a win for the ages. We will continue talking with the legendary Gary Player right after these messages.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. Gary Player completed his career Grand Slam at the age of 29, winning the 1965 U.S. Open. And Gary, thanks so much for agreeing to stay on with us here on Talking Golf. It's just always so great to get your incredible wisdom and insight. And you have said that it is the mind that wins championships. And I remember asking you, Jack Nicklaus, and Tom Watson during the Honorary Starters press conference early in the week of Masters Week, how you bounced back from major disappointments and the lows that the game of golf presents. And you said, Gary Player, the greatest gift bestowed upon men and women is adversity.
Well, absolutely. If you look at the real great leaders throughout history, let's take Winston Churchill. Just think of the adversity he lived with Hitler about to win the war. And then you have Pearl Harbor, which was a tragedy. But it also saved the war, because now Roosevelt was not coming into the war. Now he comes into the war, and of course they win. Then the adversity. Churchill had no chance. Hitler was taking France, Czechoslovakia, all over. They were far more powerful, and yet he inspired a nation with his great command of the English language and this charisma like no other leaders had. And he's in the field, in the battlefield. And then you see these people like Nelson Mandela going to jail for 20 years, coming out with no hatred, only love and forgiveness. Martin Luther King. You see these people that have had adversity. And you look at the champions, and for me to be a superstar, you've got to win 6 majors. And you look at the guys that have done that. They all came back from some adversity in their life. And that is life. Everybody will have to face that adversity because it is impossible not to have it. And if you don't get it here, you'll get it in heaven. So be prepared.
I love that philosophy. That's so true. Well, now that the burden has been lifted from Rory, what do you expect from him going forward? I mean, he said it was a heavy weight to carry, and thankfully now it totally frees him up. So what can we expect from Rory McIlroy going forward?
Well, I honestly believe he'll go to double figures with majors. I think Rory now is in a position to go to double figures because it's not the same kind of competition that if you'd had everybody playing the same tour, which is so sad because anytime there's confrontation, and I'm very proud to represent the PGA. I've been a PGA member all my life. I love what the PGA do. I don't criticize LIV. We still live in freedom, which is on the wane in the world today. So you still have a choice to go and play your tour. But it definitely, I mean, it definitely takes away that great desire. If you want to be a champion, you have to keep competing against the best all of the time. You have to, because it's such a tough game. And you know, I mean, I was a four-letter man at college. Golf is tougher than all four put together. And this Masters exemplified that. It showed you from playing phenomenal golf, but playing bad golf, he won the tournament. How it could fluctuate and how important the mind was. And the thing is that every time I speak to somebody now, they say, oh, you should see my son. Or you speak to a pro golfer, oh, you should see my junior. Hits it a mile. Well, hitting the ball a mile is an asset, but it's not a necessity. What is a necessity is the mind, because that controls everything. You've got billions of neurons in your mind that are going around like a roller coaster. And how you decide and how you believe, and you've got to believe in you the best. You've got to believe that punishment is part of the game. The mind controls everything. And you cannot win major championships unless you're a great putter. You can't win it just being a good putter now. And you've got to be a great putter. And that's essential.
How did you, Gary Player, stay in the present? How did you fight the mental demons that creep up during the most pressure of situations when you won your 9 major titles? How did you stay in the present and deal with all that pressure?
You know, when I was a young man, the adversity that I had to face up to, it was like a junkyard dog. It was so tough. And it toughened me up. It made me have appreciation. It made me have love. It made me work hard. It made me strive to speak well. It put something in my system that made me with a desire to become the best. And I'll tell you something. We talk about the Grand Slam on the regular tour. I was the only player to win the Grand Slam on both tours. Nobody's done it. Now, which is more difficult, the regular Grand Slam or the senior? Now, Nicholas says I'm talking nonsense. But not one other person. Nicholas tried. Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, Raymond Floyd, Hal Irwin, all the players, great players of our time. Nobody did it. And you know why the senior Grand Slam was so tough to win? Which Bernard Langer has done. Because we kept our bodies in great shape. And most people, when they get to 50, they're nowhere near the shape they were in when they were 25. And so the Grand Slam on the senior tour, let me tell you, I'm as proud of that as I was on the regular tour. And Bernard Langer, you've really got to admire him. The shape he's kept himself in and how well he's played. He's done by far the best of anybody on the senior tour. I had 9 majors on the senior tour. He's got 11.
Yeah. I mean, you two are very similar to me in many ways, particularly the way you stay in shape. You're going to be 90. I know you probably continue to do sit-ups and push-ups, right, and lift and play golf almost every day. And Bernard Langer has, does the same thing. And his early childhood was, he lived in poverty. And I know you had adversity when you were young. Your father was a coal miner, and you lost your mother when you were young. So there's a lot of similarities there, Gary Player. And I wanted to ask you about that. How do you think your backgrounds maybe contributed to your hunger to continue to achieve well into your life?
With me, very much so. With Bernard, very much so. But golf is a game of full of contradictions. Nicholas didn't have all that and became, and there's no question that Nicholas, if you put, you see, I judge players by their record on paper, not what they could have done. Tiger Woods is the greatest player that ever lived, but it's not on paper. Now, Nicholas's is on paper. He won. If you look at Nicholas's record, it's by far the best in the world. Not even a question. If you put it on paper and compare it to anybody, it comes out on top. But Nicholas never had the adversity. You know, it's a game of contradictions. And this Masters should make people think, and young boys particularly, I see them throwing clubs and swearing and misbehaving because they hit a bad shot. They should learn. When they saw the shots that Rory McIlroy, the best player in the world, hit and won the Masters and came back, and as bad a shots as he did hit, he hit phenomenal shots. I mean, Rory hit some of the greatest shots you'll ever see at the Masters again. But one thing you have to be is a little lucky. And if you notice, every time he went in the trees, he had a perfect lie. And that, and at number 11, he had a miracle not going in the water. So every one of us that win have to have a break. But young people should realize that hitting bad shots, now this is, I think, the most important thing I'm saying for the youth. Hitting bad shots is part of the game. You cannot play golf without hitting bad shots. And they've got to realize that and not curse and misbehave and throw clubs and thump the ground when they do it.
You are one of six male legends in my book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. I have six female legends in the book as well, and I can't thank you enough for contributing your wisdom and thoughts for that chapter in my book, Life on the Green. But I want to just read the last chapter, your chapter, Gary Player. You said, in quotes, eat half as much as you eat, exercise every day to some extent, laugh three times as much as you're used to laughing, and have unmeasured love in your heart. Now, if you do those four things, you'll be happy and will live a hell of a lot longer. What a great way to finish this interview, because those are true words of wisdom from such a treasure. Gary Player, thank you so much for being on Talking Golf, and I can't wait to see you for your early 90th birthday celebration at your charity function at the end of April.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you for all you do for this wonderful game of golf, the fastest growing sport in the world, I believe, and the greatest game of all, because it's the only sport that is play and stay. Every other sport is play and away early. Thank you for what you've done.
Stay amazing, the great Gary Player. I could talk to him all day. And believe me, that is one of the shorter interviews I've done with Gary Player. I've been talking to him for decades, for sure. You know, he made a reference or two about the fact that the guys today are hitting the ball way too far. He says it's not golf anymore because of the equipment, the new technology, the fact that, you know, these players are exercising, they're much stronger now. And he said he wonders why the RNA and the USGA don't roll back the ball for the pros only. He thinks the ball should be constructed to not go as far. Only for the pros, not for the amateurs. You know, I mean, you got Rory averaging 320 yards off the tee. Last year, the average driving distance on the PGA Tour was 301 yards, which is, I mean, insane. Well, a couple years ago, I remember when the USGA announced new measures for ball manufacturers that they said will come into effect in January 2028 for the pro game and for recreational golfers in 2030. And basically, it was about the manufacturers altering the ball, whether it's the composition of the dimple patterns, which would affect spin rates and limit distance. So it's a huge issue. And it's a topic that we certainly can spend more time discussing in future shows. He also brought up Gary Player, LIV Golf, and hoping all the top players will be able to compete against each other in more tournaments than just four times a year at the majors. He said he thinks taking all that money from LIV takes away the incentive of winning and whatnot. Well, that's a pretty strong opinion. But that's a topic that we will discuss in the future as well, reunifying LIV players and PGA Tour players, where they are in the negotiations, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk about that for sure. As I mentioned earlier, at the RBC Heritage on Hilton Head Island, SW Kim at 15 under has a one-shot lead over Andrew Novak and Justin Thomas heading into today's final round. Kim and Novak, they get started at 1:55 Eastern this afternoon. Justin Thomas at 14 under, he's paired with Maverick McNealy at 13 under. They get going at 1:45. And being that it's a signature event, $20 million purse, the winner takes home $3.6 million. At the Corrales Punta Cana Championship in the Dominican Republic, Joel Dahmen, he has a three-shot lead at 17 under over Chan Kim and Michael Thorbjornsson. Dahmen won this event. That was his only PGA Tour victory about 4 years ago. And on Thursday, he actually set the course record with that 10 under 62. His 6 under 66 on Friday set the 36-hole record there as well. So, hey, if he wins today, he'll get a two-year exemption to play on the PGA Tour. Then we have the JM Eagle LA Championship taking place. And there's a three-way tie for the lead heading into today's final round there, the LPGA event. And a lot of rookies doing well out there. A rookie named Aki Awe, she shot an 8 under in the third round. Lauren Coughlin, who's going for her third LPGA title, and rookie Ingrid Lindblad, they're all tied at 17 under. They're two shots ahead of another rookie, Ina Yoon. And the total prize money there is $3.75 million, the winner earning $562,500. Next week is actually the women's first major of the year, the Chevron Championship. Nelly Korda will be attempting to defend her title. The Chevron Championship, it's played in Houston at Carlton Woods, actually the Woodlands, to be precise. And I remember when the championship was previously in Palm Springs, California. Remember when it was known as the Nabisco Dinosaur? I love that event. I used to go out there playing the Pro-Am and record TV shows for my Golf Channel show back in the day, Conversations with Ann Liguori. I mean, I have great memories from that major in the desert, interviewing Joe Pesci, Duke Snider, Alice Cooper. And those interviews are all in a book, my first book, called A Passion for Golf, Celebrity Musings About the Game. Celine Dion, Matthew McConaughey, Sylvester Stallone, Kevin Costner, Jim Brown, Smokey Robinson, to name a few. Anyway, my thanks to Gary Player, to Brian Riscona, to Ed Arzuman, David Majernik, and Tom Izzo in production. Mark Malusis is up next. Have a happy Easter and a happy Passover. Shout out to golf buddy Billy Bartow. He's well known in the golf circles at Bethpage and beyond. Just a lovely person, a great golfer. Sending Billy Bartow get well wishes for sure. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I look forward to with you next Sunday right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.